of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. This is our very first program. And as an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guests, news, and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. It's all about outdoor recreation, getting out in God's beautiful creation. I don't know about you, but it does my soul well every time I do get out there. And don't we live in a beautiful area? There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy just the mountains, the lakes, the rivers, in whatever form you might want to do that. We have hiking, camping, mountain biking, kayaking, golfing, snow skiing, water skiing, boating, fishing, horseback riding, motorcycle riding, hunting, and the list goes on of the things we get to enjoy. This is, as I said, our very first program, and I'm so very glad to have you here. Tonight we'll be talking with Spencer Maharo, who is a guide for bow fishing. I'm excited to talk to him about that. That's something I have never done. I've been aware of it for some time, but we'll get to him in a moment. But each week I plan to have an expert, someone at least with lots of experience in their particular area of outdoor recreation. And before we get to Spencer, let me spend a little bit of time introducing myself to you. Again, my name is Tim Scarborough. Excuse me. And I thoroughly enjoy being outdoors with me. It all started when I was a young boy in Salinas, California. Lived between Salinas and Monterey, and with my mom and dad, two sisters, and where we lived, we had our back fence backed up to Fort Ord. And so I would literally go hiking up into the thousands of acres of Fort Ord and do some exploring, and sometimes go out there with my wrist rocket. I won't tell you what all I was shooting at, but, you know, would have lots of fun exploring the hills. Had my dog, Samson, who would go along with me, and it was a great time. And then I grew up in a family that we did snow skiing and water skiing, and I would go hunting with my dad, and we'd go hiking and camping. And it was through that that I really developed a love for the outdoors. And whenever I was with my dad, he would always take a moment or two, and if we were on a hike, for example, we would sit down overlooking a canyon or looking up at a beautiful mountain, and he would just take that moment to talk about God's creation and how blessed we really are to be out there to enjoy it. And so it was really part of my DNA growing up, was just being out there. Have always loved to fish and hunt, and most of the time now I just do a lot of hiking more than anything else. I still get out there and do some fishing. I jump in my kayak and paddle across a lake somewhere. Love to bass fish. I've had a few bass boats over the years, and I like doing that. But now I kind of like the solitude of the kayak and getting to sometimes smaller lakes and places to do some fishing. I also like to do some mountain biking when I'm in good enough shape to do that. But those are just some of the things that I like to do. There are so many other things that I'm really hoping to get a lot of people on here. I've got the next few weeks are scheduled. I've got next week someone whose expertise is in the area of trout fishing, fishing on the river, and so it's kind of interesting. The first couple weeks are going to be all about fishing. The following week after that, I've got someone coming on, Lori Templeton. She's going to share some camping tips and tricks, I guess you would say, and so it's going to be nice to hear from her. I enjoy going out camping. I actually haven't done that much lately, but some of you I know are out and about and you love to go up into the mountains and do some camping, that's going to be a nice program to listen to. Also, I've got slated a gentleman by the name of Trevor Montgomery, and quite an interesting story with him. Trevor has actually, he's an amputee. He lost one of his legs in a hiking accident. He and his daughter went into a cave. It was quite dark and he didn't realize it, but there was a mine shaft there and he fell into the mine shaft, fell down quite a ways, and in the process, one of his legs was severed and he nearly died. It took about 12 hours before search and rescue could get to him and get him to a hospital. And so that'll be quite a story. What's interesting about Trevor today is that he loves to go out in the kayaks and go fishing. He loves to ride ATVs. He's very active in the outdoors. And so I think sometimes people feel like, you know, maybe there's not opportunities for them because of maybe some physical ailments or physical disabilities. But really, even if you just go for a nice drive through the mountains, I like doing that sometimes, and sometimes getting over to the coast, especially midsummer when it's 110 degrees here in Redding, and to get over to the coast where it's nice and cool can be lots of fun. And so that's a little bit more about who I am and some of the things that we have coming up. Let me introduce you to Spencer Maharo. Spencer, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We connected through Facebook. Some people recommended you when I started saying, hey, who are some folks that I might be able to have on the program? And you are a bow fishing guide.
Yes, yeah, I take people out and we go bow fishing, and I'll have them meet up with me about 30 minutes before the sun goes down at whatever lake we're going to fish that night, and then we'll go over kind of the safety briefing of how the bows work. I'll teach them how to shoot the bows, everything to keep people safe so they have a good time and shoot as many fish as possible.
Awesome. Well, we're going to dig into that quite a bit here tonight. I want to know more about how you got started in that. I want to know about your boat.
Okay.
You know, I did take some time and I watched some bow fishing videos on YouTube. I watched your videos on your Instagram page. And man, you catch some really, really nice fish. And so we're going to get to all of that, but I'm going to go ahead and take a break at this point in time. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Spencer Maharo. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors, and I'm Tim Scarborough.
What a wonderful world.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Well, not when it comes to minor or major auto body repair. That's when you need to call the professionals at Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive, and their number is 530-226-0992. Call today and make an appointment for a free estimate. Gift certificates are also available at Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992 and make an appointment today for a free estimate. That's 530-226-0992.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners. wires to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 37 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. Now, if you'd like to find out more about Shasta Outdoors, what we're all about, you can go to the website, itdoesmysoulwell.com. That's itdoesmysoulwell.com. Or if you'd like to get in contact with me, you can email me at itdoesmysoulwell@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, It Does My Soul Well. We also have a Facebook group called Shasta Outdoors, and so you can take a look at that. That's a fun group page where people primarily are sharing pictures or videos of the area when they go out on their adventures in the North State area. And so we have quite a bit of fun on that particular page also. So today I've got Spencer Maharo. He is a bow fishing guide. Now explain to us, Spencer, what exactly is bow fishing?
So it's a combination of hunting and fishing, and I wouldn't say it's more like one or the other. It's really split right down the middle because we're fishing on this boat, we're driving around at nighttime, and we're kind of stalking these fish, and then you have to hit them with an arrow, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. It takes lots and lots of practice. You miss a lot. Even I miss a lot, and I've been doing it a long time now. The good thing about bow fishing, though, is that typically you get so many opportunities to shoot at these fish, because there's so many of them in our lakes that you get to try over and over and over again. I've taken people out and they've got anywhere between 80 shots, you know, in a few hours to 300 shots.
Nice. I might have to do that with you sometime.
Absolutely.
Because it'd probably take me at least that many shots before I actually hit one.
Yeah. One of the things I like to do with customers and friends is I like to sink like a rag down at the bottom of the lake and give them a target to shoot at so they can learn about the refraction of the water and how that works, because you got to aim quite a bit lower than what you would think when you're shooting into the water.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because I know when that arrow hits the water, it moves, doesn't it? Or does it?
It doesn't
somehow
necessarily move. It looks like it does, though. It's just the refraction. And so what I tell people is aim uncomfortably low.
Okay.
It's going to be uncomfortable how low you're aiming. And then once you think you're low enough, aim just a little bit lower.
Okay. And so how did you get into bow fishing, Spencer?
Well, I've always been in, you know, a bass fisherman, and I remember being at the lakes and stuff and seeing these monster fish, and they were carp, common carp is what they're called.
Right.
And I was always interested in bow fishing for them, but I didn't really know enough about it at the time. And I get a phone call from one of my buddies, and he says, "Hey, man, the carp are spawning. Meet me at the lake." I said, "The what? Are doing what?" and he said, "Just come down, and we'll take turns using my bow." And that was the beginning of it. It was all downhill from there.
Yeah. That's awesome, because I've been out on the lake a lot, like Shasta Lake, and you see these carp, and they're huge. Some of them are huge. And I've tried to, you know, hook them. I've tried to throw something at them. Of course, I'm out bass fishing, you know, seeing if they'll go after anything. And it's almost like they completely ignore anything that I throw at them.
Yeah. And the reason why they're ignoring it is because probably when you're seeing them down there at the lake, they're spawning. So they only have one thing on their mind, and it's not eating.
Right. So they're just protecting their eggs or their spawning bed, you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. So it was a friend of yours, and you went out with them, and you just fell in love with
them? Oh, God, yeah. It's just we started out on this old boat, and it was kind of like a bayliner, not really what you want for bow fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like some painter's lights running off a generator that were baling wired on there, and it was complete hokey setup. But you don't need a $30,000 boat to do this. Anybody can do it. You can do it from the banks even with a cheap bow you found off Craigslist and set it up. And right. That's one of the beauties of bow fishing.
When you go out, are you seeing like schools of carp, or are you just seeing individual ones as you go along?
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Sometimes we'll go into coves, and I know they're really good, and I know they're holding fish because I'm there almost every weekend. And so I'll tell people, get ready, and we come in the cove and turn the lights on, and I've had sometimes 80 fish that are circling around this cove, you know.
Wow.
And then other times, some of the real big ones that we get will be by themselves, it seems like.
Okay.
The 40-pounders, you know, 40, right. 35-pounders.
What's the biggest one you've ever caught?
So.
Or shot.
The best night we've ever had, my scale wasn't working that night, so I don't know. But it's these pictures right here.
You brought some nice pictures, and I'm looking at them and salivating over them, these huge fish. And, of course, we'll get the information. People can go onto your Instagram page, and they can see some of the pictures of these fish and these catches that you have. So how quiet do you have to be to sneak up on these fish?
It just depends on how much pressure they've had, what state of mind they're in due to the time of year. Water temperature has a lot to do with it. I mean, we run generators on the boat, so we're not extremely quiet. And
right.
bow fishing is, I'd consider it a social sport. It's kind of like dove hunting. It's not like, okay, be quiet because here comes the fish. We're playing music, we're talking, we're laughing, having a good time. And that's another thing that's really cool about bow fishing.
Right. So you can just socialize and not really worry about it scaring the fish off then.
For the most part, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit different than how I grew up fishing. It was everybody had to be quiet. Although maybe it was just what my dad said so that he didn't want to hear what we were having to talk about, I guess. But so these fish, these are carp.
Mm-hmm.
So in this North State area, what kind of carp do you typically see?
We see lots of common carp.
Okay, common carp. And when I was talking with you earlier in the week, you were talking about these common carp being an invasive species, which tells me they're not native to this area. And where are they from? How did they get here?
So back in the 1800s, around here, they were kind of worried about food sources. What are we going to do if we fish everything out?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the idea to bring in carp from Europe. And just like most things that are brought in here, years go by and they realize that wasn't a good idea. They're invasive. They're extremely invasive. Carp are actually on the top list of the world's most invasive species.
Mm, interesting. And so by invasive, what are they doing to the lake that's not positive, that's negative?
Okay, so what they're doing is they go around and kind of like a pig, they go rooting. They root up all the aquatic plant life.
Okay.
And so they're tearing a lot of these plants out of the ground, and that is where our native fish, they hide from predator fish and everything like that. They like to spawn in it. They like to hide in it, and it helps them survive. And another thing that does is it releases a large amount of phosphorus, and that equals large algae blooms. So
okay.
when you see lakes that are just completely devastated from algae blooms, kind of like Clear Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Clear Lake has that problem. There's 8 times the amount of phosphorus there should be due to the carp in Clear Lake.
Okay.
And that's one of the problems they're having once they get so many carp. Another scary topic about those is the reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
They can lay thousands and thousands of eggs. A 20-pound carp can lay around 2 million eggs. A 17-inch carp can lay around 300,000 eggs. And they can spawn, 3 times a year depending on weather.
Right. So essentially then when you go out and you are fishing, hunting for these carp, you're actually doing a wonderful service for that particular body of water.
The bass fishermen love us.
Awesome. That's awesome. I know a lot of bass fishermen. I'll make sure that they know who you are and what you're doing out there, guiding and taking others out there with you. And so, yeah, that's interesting. So where are some of the best places in the North State to bow fish?
Most bodies of water around here actually have carp. Shasta Lake can be a really good one. That is where I find the biggest carp. There's huge carp in Shasta Lake. And the thing about carp is they can live just about anywhere, extremely low oxygen levels that most fish couldn't survive in.
Okay.
They're more hardy than, a bass or a catfish. They actually kind of thrive in that nasty, dirty, muddy water, warm water.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And so are there certain times of the year that are better than others for going out and hunting carp?
Yes and no. Different lakes are better at certain times of the year, I guess you could say. Springtime, once the water hits, I think I said this already, 68 degrees, it'll throw them into a spawn, and that is when it's just, it's insane. There's fish all over the place. But we hunt them all summer long, you know. As long as the water's warm and it's warm out, they seem to stay shallow, and they like to hang out around the weeds in the shallow areas. And then come October, we're still doing okay. But once it starts getting colder, they go down deeper, and they like to just get lethargic and hang out in a nice, easy area.
Okay. So a little more difficult in the wintertime then?
It's a lot more difficult. It's a complete different story in the wintertime.
Interesting.
But we went out the other night, and we got into a cove, and there was lots of fish there. I think we ended up shooting only 7 of them, but it was still really good considering the time of the year and the water condition.
Right, right. And so you brought in a couple of bows here this evening, and I wanted to just talk about that for a moment. You know, I can tell it's a compound bow, and describe it a little bit for our listeners. Obviously, we don't have this on video or anything like that. Describe this bow compared to, like, say, you went and got a compound bow for deer hunting.
Okay, well, there's really not much of a difference, actually, except for instead of a stabilizer, this has what's called a reel seat, and that's where your fishing reel connects onto there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have sights for bow fishing. It's more instinctive. And then you can use a recurve bow, too, if you wanted. You can use a real expensive bow or a real cheap bow, like I was saying. And legally in California, all you have to have is a string attached to the arrow. So you can't just be out flinging, you know, broadheads at fish in the lake. You know,
right.
You want to have a string attached to it, and then that way you can retrieve it and you're not leaving arrows around. And the arrows are different than your hunting arrows, too. These arrows are special fishing arrows. And the way they work is you got it's called a safety slide that attaches to your string, that attaches to your bow. And when you hit these fish, have these, like, retractable barbs, and that makes it to where the fish can't get off.
Right.
So you reel the fish in, you unscrew the tip, and then once the tip is unscrewed, that allows for your fish to come off, and then you can put it in your fish barrel.
So how many pounds is that line tested for? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, some of it gets pretty crazy, especially like if you're shooting back east or if you're shooting in Shasta Lake even. Like I say, you can get a 40-pound carp in there, and you're going to want at least 100-pound line on there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And one of the things, like when I was thinking about this, and you have this reel, and it's not like there's a pull to it or anything. It's just the reel that is on the actual bow itself. And so you just reel it in with that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so do they ever pull out some drag on that reel?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Those big ones, that's really exciting. I seen it was a carp one night, and it was when I was new to it, and when I very first got into a really, really big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I seen it was clearly, obviously a carp, and I shot, but I didn't realize that it was a monster carp. And it just was taking line. And we were chasing it around in the boat, and it took it forever. And we seen it, and everybody in the boat went crazy once we got a glimpse of it and finally got it landed.
Nice, nice. So what, how many fish are you allowed to take?
So with these being an invasive species, there is no limit on these fish.
Okay.
You don't have to have a hunting license to do this. All you need to do is have a fishing license, a valid fishing license, and then you can go after these fish.
Awesome. Awesome. And then what do you do with the fish once you catch them? I hear carp aren't really good eating. Is that true?
Yeah, so there's some people that say carp are good eating, and you can eat them. But depending on the body of water, they actually recommend you don't eat them, because they're omnivores, so they'll eat anything
right,
and everything in their path. So sometimes they're eating stuff that's not so good that you might not want to put into your body.
Right.
So the best thing to do with them is if you have a property where you can mix it in the dirt, make fertilizer, or give it to other people that can put it to good use.
Right, right. Okay.
What you don't want to do is leave them around the lake, because that'll give bow fishermen a really bad name.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so people don't want to see them, because I have actually been out on the lake and have seen where somebody has thrown a carp up on the shore, and it's just laying there. And, it, of course, it's very noticeable because it's a very large fish. but that's not the thing to do.
No, that'll give us a bad name, and we don't want that.
Right, right. All right, I am here with Spencer Maharo. He is a guide bow fisherman with Spotlight Bow Fishing. We're going to talk a little bit more with him after this break.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, a hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and shakes can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at bpsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Winter weather is upon us. When snow and ice and wind and rain can stir up dirt and grime on the roadways, impacting visibility and vehicle performance. So the wash can't wait. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, featuring car wash packages starting at only $9. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I am Tim Scarborough, and I am here this evening with Spencer Maharo, who is a bow fishing guide, has Spotlight Bow Fishing, and so we've been talking about bow fishing. It sounds like pretty exciting to me to be able to get out there and do a kind of a combination, as Spencer described it, of hunting and fishing. And so tell us a little bit, Spencer, about your boat.
Oh, yeah. So the best boat you can have for bow fishing is one that'll ride shallow, because you're going to go into the back of lots of shallow coves. So mine is a flat bottom boat. It's 18 feet long, 60 inches wide at the beam. And I have a raised platform, and that's what everybody stands on, which is in the front of the boat. Mm-hmm. And around that platform, I have about 1,300 watts of lights, LED lights.
Wow.
And the reason people raise the platforms is so you can get a better view of the fish. It also helps with the refraction during the daytime. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, it's good to have a raised platform. It really helps out.
Do the lights do anything as far as to the fish themselves?
No, it doesn't do anything to the fish, but they're not bothered by them. It's not you get what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah, and they're not coming to the light for food or anything like that. It just doesn't bother them at all.
Okay. Do you do anything like chumming for the fish or anything along that line?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. And so you just go out and you're hunting for the fish and
yeah.
You have a good idea where they might be in the various coves. I've seen pictures of your boat, and it looked like you could get several people up front, like on the platform portion of that boat.
Yeah, about four of us comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to buy a boat that's already made for that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. And so is that what you did, or did you have one and you modified it?
No, we modified this boat. So me and some good friends got together, and I got the flat-bottom boat, and after that we did lots of welding, lots of stuff to get it fitted for bow fishing.
Nice, nice. And so you should be coming up here on your season here for some more carp fishing, right? When is that really going to start kicking in?
Typically late March, early April is when that's going to start kicking in. And like I say, we can shoot them all summer long, but this weather, I don't know. The weather's kind of weird this year.
Yeah, it is. It's just crazy. I'm telling you, the number of days that we've had in Redding alone with the snow is absolutely surprising. I've lived here since 1977 and actually moved up here with my family. My dad moved up to this area because of the outdoor recreation opportunities. They were just so abundant. And it's the most snow that I have seen since I've lived here. And so that's just amazing. You know, we talked a little bit about the bows, the arrows, and so forth. Where do you get this?
If you're wanting to get set up, you can go to Sportsman's Warehouse or the Bow Rack here in Redding. Those are two good places to buy everything you need.
Okay.
If you're looking to go a different route, you can just order stuff online on Amazon. You can find any of this stuff.
Right.
Amazon, eBay is a good place to get these bows.
Sure. Sure. And, I guess you would just put in the search bow fishing bows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, the cool thing about this is they can be cranked down to really low poundage. You know, you mm-hmm. don't have to pull back 70 pounds like you do for deer or
right.
elk or something. And that gives kids the opportunity to come out here and shoot fish too, because they're soft and you're shooting into water. I've had lots of, kids and women come out, people that have never even shot a bow before. Mm-hmm. And they've all done really well. And like I say, you get so many opportunities that you'll get it figured out.
Hopefully.
Once you hit that
You haven't taken me out there yet, Spencer, so we'll have to see if that's works for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, once you hit that first fish, it just kind of clicks.
Right, right. And so do they ever have bow fishing tournaments?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. They have a pretty big one every year at Clear Lake.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we did that last year, and it was tough because of all the algae. The algae in the water made it really hard to bow fish, but we ended up doing pretty good. It was a 48-hour tournament.
Wow.
A pretty decent payout, and there was probably around 35 boats there. People come from all over to go bow fish that lake. And we were in first place the first day for the smallest fish. But, it was a fun tournament.
Nice, nice. I've never seen a tournament like that up in this area, though, as far as Shasta County area.
Yeah, no, not really so much in this area.
Mm-hmm. And so, bow fishing is really big in the south and back east, it looks like.
Yeah. I'm going to go there in April, and we're going to go bow fish in Georgia with a friend of mine and maybe Alabama, too.
Nice.
Yeah, we went there last year, and my wife shot her first fish. It was a gar. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Wow. Just kind of getting back a little bit to the invasive species part of our conversation here, because the carp around here are common carp, but you also mentioned the fact that there are some grass carp.
No, there's not supposed to be any grass carp here. And what it says in the regulations is that if you catch a grass carp, you're supposed to immediately kill it and then report it.
Okay. But that's not true for the common carp. You don't have to report it or anything.
It's not mandatory like it is. It's not a bad idea with them being such prolific breeders.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get rid of it, then you're doing the lake a favor. You're doing the environment a favor if you do that.
Right, right. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here, and I am talking with Spencer Maharo with Spotlight Bow Fishing, and we want to make sure before we end the program today that we give everybody your information if they want to go out. I know that you would be happy to do that, and they can find out how they can get in contact with you. And I'm glad I have the number right here in front of me. So anyway, we will be back, and we'll be talking with Spencer Maharo. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. Shasta Outdoors is an outreach of It Does My Soul Well. And if you'd like to know more information about Shasta Outdoors, you can go to itdoesmysoulwell.com. You can also look for us on Facebook. Well, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of outdoor recreating this weekend because the weather's not looking really great. We've got Nathan who is running the board for us tonight. What's going on with the weather this weekend?
Hey, Tim. Tonight we've got cloudy weather, of course, and it's going to be cold around 35. Saturday, its showers are likely, mainly after 4, cloudy, high near 51. Chance of precipitation is around 60%. Saturday night, you're going to get showers. Low around 42, low wind about 5 miles an hour. Precipitation chance is about 80%. Sunday is going to be showers. Yeah, all day. Sunday night, showers, low around 48. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all showers with, showers. Friday is when it starts to get sunny again. So if you guys got a chance, that's when you should go outside.
Nice. If we can get out there. There are times when I don't mind being in the rainy weather. I've fished some bass tournaments and it was pouring down rain and I've been out there when it's been snowing, but because I'm so determined in doing something so incredibly fun, I don't mind it. I don't like to go hiking out in the rain or necessarily the snow. I love to go hiking after it snows. And so this morning, when I got up and I looked outside and I looked up, it was still a little bit dark, but I could tell that there weren't any clouds in the sky. And so I couldn't help myself. I had to put on my snow hiking boots and got dressed and went to actually the Quartz Hill trailhead, did the Hornbeck Loop. I went out there and I was just wearing a hoodie sweatshirt and my boots and it was cool, but if I walk along fairly quickly, I warm up and I'm feeling good. And some of the trail was blocked because there were still trees that were bent over. And so I'd shake the snow off them or make my way under them or around them. So it was all great. except when I started my way back to the parking lot, the sun had come up by that time and the snow began to melt that was in the trees, and there were thousands of water drops coming down. So I was warm, but I was wet by the time I got back. So if you go out there after it snows and it warms up, just be aware. Wear a raincoat, because it might look sunny in the sky and be clear sky, but those water drops can be falling on you quickly. I'm here with Spencer Maharo, Spotlight Bow Fishing. Spencer, it's been wonderful having you here today. One of the things that I am noting on this bow fishing, it looks like it's always done at night. Is that true?
Yeah, typically when I go out, we have the best odds at nighttime. Mm-hmm. If you go out during the spawn, you can shoot a lot of fish in the daytime, but nighttime's always better.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And why is that? Just because they're coming up to the shore at night? What's going on with the fish?
Carp are kind of like catfish. They're really busy at night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so during the day, they're typically a lot more dormant?
Yeah, for the most part. They're easier to see at nighttime, too, with my light. It makes it a lot easier to penetrate through the water.
Right.
You're not dealing with the sun glaring off the water and everything.
Right. So are the lights just above the water then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you don't have lights that are actually down in the water itself?
No, but that would probably work really good.
There's an idea for you.
Yeah.
And so, Spencer, I want to make sure before we end this program here in about less than 15 minutes now that we let people know how to get a hold of you. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Probably through Instagram. I do have Facebook also. I prefer Instagram, but Facebook works.
Okay.
You can also email me or call me even.
Okay. What's your phone number?
530-356-6294.
Okay. Again, that's 530-356-6294.
Yeah.
Right? And then your email address?
SpencerMaharo@yahoo.com. That's SpencerMaharo@yahoo.com.
At yahoo.com. And your Instagram is Spotlight_bowfishing.
Yeah.
Right? And then they can just search for Spotlight Bowfishing on Facebook.
Yeah. And like I say, I like Instagram because that's where I post lots of videos. I do a lot of time editing after all my bowfishing trips and then edit those. And so everybody can really see what it's all about.
Right. Yeah. I've gone on to your Instagram and looked at the videos, and they're pretty spectacular.
Thank you.
And it's an amazing thing. Why do you think it's not something that has caught on as much in this area?
I don't know. I don't know. With all the people we have around here that like to hunt and fish, it's odd to me. And I think just a lot of people don't really know about it. They don't realize the opportunity that we actually have right here in our backyards. It's mm-hmm. not just a thing that we do back east, you know, in Alabama right. and Georgia. It's something you can do right here. You know, any creek, almost any lake around here, you can go bow fishing if you know how to do it.
Right. Yeah, it looks really fun to me to be able to get out there and do something like this. I don't know about the whole nighttime thing in the summer, because I go to bed about typically, well, I'd be looking close to going to bed about this time.
Yeah, I'm the same way on weekdays. It can be a long night. I wake up at 4 a.m. and then bow fish all night sometimes in the summer. So.
Right.
Yeah. And one more thing. Know your species of fish. Know what you can and you can't shoot.
Oh, okay.
There are laws. You know, Western suckerfish, Sacramento pike, lamprey, and common carp. That's what you can shoot here.
Okay. So you can't go out and shoot a bass.
Yeah, don't go down to the river and shoot a big salmon or anything like that.
Right.
You'll get in lots of trouble. So, yeah, know your fish, know your species, know the regulations, just like anything else with hunting and fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sacramento pike,
mm-hmm.
Now I've caught those on Lake Britton at times while I was out bass fishing. Sometimes they'll hit just about anything, it seems like. And what are we supposed to do with those?
I mean, you can throw them back in the water if you want. It's really up to your discretion. But that's another fish that it's really hard on, you know, small fish. Like you said, they'll hit just about anything. They're really aggressive. They'll eat baby bass, baby trout.
Right.
And so, you know, we're talking a fish that is not really good to eat. It doesn't benefit the lake in too many ways. Not nearly as bad as a carp is on the water.
Right.
So that's why I say throw it back if you want to, or, you know, take care of it if you want to.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
Absolutely. Now, Spencer, bow fishing isn't your only outdoor love.
No.
There are
no.
other things that you enjoy doing, so let's talk a little bit about that. I actually saw some pictures of you hunting and some of the things that you've been able to get. And so what are some other forms of outdoor recreation that you enjoy?
Oh, gosh. I love whitewater kayaking. I love taking my family up to the Trinity River in the summer. Mm-hmm. I like to fish and hunt with my niece and my little brother and my daughters and introduce them to all of that.
Right.
Yeah, they love it. And so they hunt and fish almost just as much as I do.
Awesome. Now, how did you develop your love for the outdoors?
Through my dad and my grandpa. I've been mm-hmm. been hunting, and it's just been my passion ever since I was a little kid. Couldn't hardly sleep at night knowing if I was going hunting the
right.
next day. Yeah, and I'm still like that.
Sure. Yeah, I was the same way when I was younger. I don't hunt as often now, but I used to love to go out and deer hunt. My favorite was actually quail hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was because my dad had a bunch of property in the Shingletown area, and it was just loaded with quail. Plus, I enjoyed eating the quail.
Yeah, quail are really good. My daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, Sophia, she shot some mountain quail this year. And,
oh, wow.
And she cooked them up by herself at camp.
Nice.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Nice. I school. It's actually the 29th year for Redwoods and Rivers, and they will be conducting this fun and exciting 7-day river guide program. Among the many things that they'll cover in the school are paddle guiding rafts on class 3 rivers, reading whitewater, the anatomy of rivers, low impact camping, outdoor food preparation for groups, natural and cultural history, team building, outdoor leadership, river safety, river etiquette, and the list goes on. It sounds like a fun event. It's starting on Sunday, a couple days from today, but if you're still interested, you can contact them. You can go to their website at redwoods_rivers.com, or you can call them at 1-800-429-0090. That's 1-800-429-0090. Or you can email them at guideschool@redwoodsriver.com. It sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you've done some of that whitewater stuff, huh?
Yeah.
But you do it in kayaks?
Yeah, whitewater kayaks. That's
okay.
My favorite way to do it.
And so are those the kayaks that where you don't get wet, where it has like a sleeve that you
So it's called a skirt, and you get into it, and then you put it around the top of the kayak. And
okay.
Everybody thinks you're crazy for it because you're stuck to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a good friend from high school, and he used to do that quite a bit, and he would go to the Trinity River, and, you know, I would see some of the footage of him going down some of these steep areas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of those guys that do this whitewater kayaking, to me are crazy. It's not something that I would do, but more power to you if that's what you're into.
Yeah,
you know, have you ever heard of Pitt River Falls?
Yeah, I've got friends that have done that. We've done Crystal Creek Falls at Whiskey Town.
Wow.
The Upper Sacramento River is a really good one, but the most beautiful one I've ever seen was Clear Creek.
Right.
Yeah, start Clear from Creek. Mead Camp and go down. That one's, you're in a gorge, and it's the most beautiful country you've ever seen.
Oh, interesting. So I haven't actually, you know, seen that particular stretch of Clear Creek. I have hiked around that area some here even recently. Did a little hike through the snow a couple of weeks ago after we had that first snow.
Yeah.
The Mount Shasta mine loop.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice hike. And so, anyway, again, I am here with Spencer Maharo with Spotlight Bow Fishing. Spencer, once again, give us your contact information. I know there's some people who are wanting to get in contact with you.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram at Spotlight_Bowfishing, and my phone number is 356-6294, area code 530. So if you want to book a trip, just shoot me a message, and we can go from there.
And you can also go to my Facebook page, It Does My Soul Well. There is a link there, or you can go to the website, itdoesmysoulwell.com. And on the radio page, I'll provide a couple links for people so that they can get a hold of you and get out there and do some spotlight bow fishing. The season is coming up.
It'll be here shortly.
Yeah. Right.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah. Do you, can you tell me, do you have a favorite lake?
No, they're all so good. You just
right. See, this is a fisherman. They're all so good.
Yeah, they're
right.
All good. They're right. All good.
Yeah, we talked before the program, and I completely understand that. We're not going to divulge your secret spots.
Yeah.
You know, on Shasta Lake, how much does it play into the fact that Shasta Lake basically is going up and down all the time?
It doesn't play into it too much. In fact, with all this rainwater, it's going to be an excellent year because we're so high up, the water's getting into the weeds and into the willow trees. And
okay.
I'll tell you that. Stick to the shallow spots, find the grass, find the trees, and mm-hmm. Go in the back of those coves and you'll find fish. Go at nighttime, you'll find even more fish.
Right, right. So when you get ready to do, say, guide some customers, do you go out and sort of pre-fish it or pre-scout the area?
Yeah, as much as I can, and I stay busy, and if I'm not busy, I'm going myself because I love it so much. And so I got my spots. I know where the fish are going to be. It helps to scout, of course, but if you can't make it out there and you've done it enough times and you just learn their habitat, learn what they like to do, where they like to be, and
right.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. It's not rocket science.
Right. Awesome. Again, Spencer Maharo here. Thank you so much, Spencer, for being on the program. This is the very first Shasta Outdoors program. And so this is Tim Scarborough, and I just want to encourage you to get out there. Get in God's great creation. Enjoy the great outdoors. We'll see you next week. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.